idea that we're supposed to abide in the vine, that we are to remain in Jesus. We're to continue to follow the Good Shepherd that we heard about last week. And, of course, we are called to recognize Christ and remain in connection and in relationship with this one who shares with us the power of the resurrection. We also hear how essential this is, that if we become disconnected from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says to his disciples. And we also hear that if we are removed, then our branch will wither and die. But it is in Christ that we both find life and the ability to participate in what God is doing. And if we're not participating in what God is doing, then we are doing nothing. Nothing else is lasting, nothing else will have full value or mean anything, ultimately, than to participate in God's action. So we know we are to remain in this vine, and that would be a very good thing. But we have some challenges to abiding in the vine today. Our first challenge, of course, is just our own awareness of this vine and what it means to abide and to remain with Christ. We don't always know what that looks like. The Ethiopian official in our first reading today demonstrates that truth to us. He's reading the prophet Isaiah, he's hearing God's word. And when Philip asks, well, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I, unless someone were to guide me? That we have to recognize we need help. If we are to understand God's word, if we're to understand how this relates to our lives. And so, first and foremost, we have to have help, just to recognize what it might mean to abide in the vine, to recognize what it might mean to live with God in Christ. Then there are two other forces that disrupt this love, that disrupt this connection to the vine, and that is fear and hatred. So we hear about in our second reading. Those who fear have not reached perfection in love. And fear has to do with punishment. We thought a little bit about fear last week, and we'll hear about that again. We also get some other layers of fear today, this whole notion about punishment. Now, when we are afraid, right, this might even go back to this misunderstanding, we're afraid that we don't know what we should do. We're afraid that we might get it wrong. We're afraid that we're going to upset God, or maybe upset those around us, maybe upset our family members, or upset the world. Maybe we're afraid of the consequences of these things, and this causes us to sort of lock down and not always see with the same eyes that God would look at the world with. Indeed, we also recognize that a lot of times fear prevents us from caring for others. So when we are truly afraid, we lack the capacity to look outside ourselves. Again, this is similar to what we heard last week. If the wolves show up, the hired hands aren't thinking, how do I care for the sheep here? Or how do I make sure that I'm still doing exactly what the good shepherd asked me to do? That's not the goal. The goal is get out of here, save my life, fight, flight. But either way, it's not how do I best love care for those around me. And so we recognize that when we are afraid, we have not reached perfection in love. We have not experienced this perfect love that drives out fear. And then hatred, of course, pretty obvious about how that disrupts our ability to love and to remain in the vine. That when we hold bitterness or anger or malice towards someone or a group of people, this is like a sickness of our soul that will eat away at us. That not only will it disrupt our relationship with the others, but it will disrupt our relationship with God. And this is what we hear in our second reading as well. Those who say they love God but hate their neighbor are liars. Because we cannot love our neighbor who we have seen, and certainly we cannot love God whom we have not seen. So we have to recognize this love of God is indiscriminate. That God so loved the world, God sent God's only Son. That God didn't say, well, you know, only this certain group of people gets to experience the love of God. No, it is for all. And that is the same level of love we are then called to model. We too are to say, we must celebrate and share this love with all. How do we do this? How do we remain in the vine to produce this sort of love that we know the world and ourselves need? Well, of course, the short answer to that question is we can't. This isn't something we accomplish. We'll need God to work in our lives in order for that to occur. And thankfully, of course, that's exactly what God does. This is what we hear already, that God loves us. It's not that we love God that we receive this love, but God loved us first. God moves towards us in Christ. This is how God reveals God's love. God sent the Son into the world to save the world, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to draw us back into God's presence. We cannot be attached to the vine by our own will. We cannot will ourselves to proper understanding of who God is and what God is doing. We cannot will ourselves away from fear, the support that's just going to grip us and hold us fast. We cannot even will ourselves away from hatred. We will need the love of God to be revealed and made manifest in our lives, to draw us into this bond so that we can be nourished in such a way that we can move away from these other aspects and bear the fruit of God's love in the world. And indeed, this is what Jesus says has already begun when he's talking to his disciples today. He says, abide in me, remain in me as I remain in you, as I abide in you. Jesus is telling them, this is already happening, folks. I am already abiding in you. I have already made this primary move to enter into your life, to share with you the love of God, to offer you exactly what you need to be connected to this vine and to bear some fruit. So we know that this is true for us as well. We are called to abide in Christ as Christ already abides in us. Jesus has already made this move to be in our lives, to enter in, to share with us this love of God. It's the primary thing we need if we are to remain in this vine, if we are to bear this fruit. And of course, we see other gifts offered to us today as well. Jesus mentions to the disciples that they have received cleansing. You are cleansed by the words that I have shared with you. This word of God cleanses. If we think about ourselves getting plugged up as sort of this piping of the vine and the branches, that somehow there is stuff and gunk that will block the nutrients and the flow that Christ is willing to share with us, it needs to be cleaned out. We must be cleansed, and this is what the word of God does. Maybe cleans even up our attachment point to allow us to connect to the vine better, and it will allow us to receive those nourishment and nutrients that come from God. And the Word of God cleanses us and does it, and allows us into this vine. And we see that going on for the Ethiopian official as well. He hears this Word of God proclaimed to him by Philip. And he recognizes that he is cleansed. They come across this water, and he says, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? I have been cleansed. I have been made new. I am ready to join the people of God. I know that I, too, am a part of this vine. It's what these cleansing words bring to us as we recognize the truth of God's love, grace, and mercy. And so, what we recognize is that there's another gift that is shared with us, this gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift that we see Philip modeling in our first reading today. This Spirit also keeps us connected to that vine, continues to pour into us what we need in order to bear God's fruit. We see the Spirit giving direction to Philip. We see the Spirit whisking him away and sending him down so that he can continue to make the message of God known. We also know that the Spirit helps us continue to trust God and the action God is taking in our lives. So we hear Jesus telling us today that the Father is the vine grower or the vine dresser. The Father is the one pruning this vine, pruning these branches. And pruning may not always be a pleasant experience. There might be leaves that we love that this vine dresser prunes away. Or maybe we look at others that we've really grown fond of, and yet now God is reshaping them and pruning them. And we might say, what are you doing? Vine dresser, we wanted our leaves, our growth to remain the way that we had it. And yet the Spirit tells us, no, we can trust that this vine dresser, this vine grower is helping us produce the fruit for the world, that this pruning is of benefit to us and to the whole plant. This is what we need the Spirit to do. This is what we need if we are to remain in the vine, to bear the fruit that we should in the world. And Philip shows us what this looks like. Philip shows us what one abiding in the vine and producing this fruit can do. Now Philip hears some pretty terrifying stuff, really. Go walk on this wilderness road all by yourself. Oh, and by the way, you see that chariot over there, driven by a foreigner and people you don't know at all? Go ahead and run up next to it. That should be fine. Well, you're all by yourself out here on the wilderness road. And yet we see no hesitation from Philip to do these things that we would likely find uncomfortable, to say the least. And he runs up, and through the Spirit hears these words of God being read from the prophet Isaiah, and offers an interpretation. He says, through the Spirit of God, I understand what's going on here. I can use this passage to help you hear the good news of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf. Philip's able to offer right instruction. Philip has his fears driven out so that he can draw closer to the other people. And then, as the official asks to be baptized, we see Philip able to share the same gift with the official that has been shared with him. And he says, sure, I'll baptize you. Now, mind you, it's very likely this Ethiopian official is a Gentile. And in Acts at this point, we have not had Peter go to Cornelius. That's in a couple of chapters. We haven't had the church officially say, yeah, we can do ministry to Gentiles. Philip could have said many reasons that he should be denied this gift of baptism. You're not quite the right group. We haven't gone through the proper training. There's a tendency to want to kind of hold each other at arm's length here. And while that may not be outright hatred of others, it certainly is differentiation, an opportunity to discriminate based on which group people belong to. Which, of course, is all something Philip doesn't even consider or do at all. Philip says, of course, I'll baptize you. I want you to know the exact same gift that I have shared, even if I've been told that you aren't quite of the same status in God's eyes, even if I've been told before that you are of a different group and that we shouldn't get along. I don't care. I want you to experience the same mercy and love that I have experienced. That is what love looks like. We know that we are called to be like Philip too. That we are invited to run up alongside others in this world to help them hear God's word for their lives. To help them understand this word that speaks life and wholeness to them. And that regardless of who they are, their background, which groups they belong to, we can proclaim to them God's love in such a way that we would be willing to share with them all the same gifts that we ourselves have received. And finally, we recognize that we're always ready to make this world known. This is what Philip does after he is whisked away to Azathoth or Ashdod and makes his way up to Caesarea. He's ready to make God's love known again continues to proclaim this good news for all the earth. We are invited to do so as well. Love is ever reaching out. It needs to draw more into its loving grasp, its loving grace. Hello, dear brother. I pray we will continue to remain in this vine, continue to bear such fruit. Of course, in order to do that, we will need nutrients. We will need to be nourished and fed by the sun, which is exactly what occurs here today. Christ shows up in the fruit of the vine, in the fruit of the earth, in this bread and wine to share with us Christ's own body and love. And in this meal, we are strengthened and nourished to celebrate and share the love that we have received from God. In this meal, we find that we are cleansed again by this word of God that forgives our sins and restores us to God and one another. And as we are sent out from this place to celebrate and share such love, we know that we will encounter wonder. As we see that love unfold, we too, like Philip, will see amazing things occur as this love takes action in the world around us, in us, and through us. And as we see these wonders of God unfold, all we can say in response, in awe and joy, is Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.